Never want to turn that song off. Pablo Picasso said, the meaning of life is to find your joy, and the purpose of life is to give it away. Grand Rising Freedom Crusaders, this is Ashley Casper Rising with you on the Grow Rich Mastermind. We gather here to remind each other what's possible in this life and learning the foundation of what is required to create a life of more freedom and abundance. So happy to be with you this morning on May 13th, 2026, and our enthusiastic host and the founder of this amazing call, Paul Hutchings, will be with us in just a bit. Paul Hutchings is a former call center cubicle worker who went from living in a 1984 single-wide trailer house to retiring debt-free in his early 40s. He has been a top producer in the home business profession since 2009, and he has co-founded a company that has paid out over $7 million in commissions. His main passion in business is to help lead the Freedom Crusade by inspiring and empowering others to achieve their financial goals and dreams in life. Before we hear from him, I want to hear from all of you, Freedom Crusaders. So as I unmute the lines, please let me know what your name is and where you're calling in from this morning.
I'm doing the duck.
Here comes the butter.
The butter with the grills. Oh, yeah, Paul Wall.
Well, the Booker's in the house.
Oh, yeah, I got to put on my amazing shirt.
Come on now. Yeah. You are amazing.
Yes. And you're amazing.
Come on.
You're amazing.
Where's
the
butter
on the grill? We got amazing grills.
All right, everyone, it's top of the hour.
Who's the man with the master plan? The beat, the A, the U, the L.
The L.
Fly top of it.
Vanilla vibing.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Freedom Crusaders of planet Earth, welcome to the Grow Rich Mastermind. It is another great day to be alive. Wonderful Wednesday, I believe it is, and we are here, as we are every day, Monday through Friday, to light our fires, to lift each other up, to study principles of success, to see if we can, and I know we can, condition our minds for success, happiness, freedom, wealth, abundance, prosperity, goodness, joy, service, love, any good word, you can fill in that blank, that's what we want to do. So thank you so much, Ashley, for the great introduction. My name is Paul Hutchings, and I'm the host today. Very grateful to be the host. It's a wonderful thing to be able to share, to be able to offer some insights, to share some stories, and also to guide myself and others through the reading for today. We're going to be studying from a great little book, an old book, but a great little book, a classic, you could say, in the personal development space. This book is actually the inspiration and the foundation for the movie The Secret that came out a number of years ago. And whether you love that movie or not, that movie was a global phenomenon. And the Rhonda Byrne, the producer and creator of that movie, became fabulously wealthy, taking some of the ideas in this book and putting them into movie form. So not only that, I've been studying this book with many of you, for over a decade. And when I first started studying this book, I was living in a 1984 single wide mobile home, working on growing a business, getting into a better financial situation. And, you know, now I'm so thankful to say that I'm debt free and double retired in my early 40s, which just means I have enough residual income from not just my business, but also from investments, that either one of those could go away and I would still never have to have a J-O-B, a job again. And I'm so thankful for that. And when people hear that story, one of the logical questions is, how did you do it, Paul? How did you do it? What was the thing? What was the one thing you did? And as I think about that question, the truth about the answer is that there were many things that I did. Studying this book every day was one of them. Getting on this conference call every day was one of them. There were many things. It's usually when a result happens in someone's life, it's usually not just one single thing that caused the result. And that's an interesting thing to be aware of in storytelling, by the way. When we tell stories, one story pattern is, hey, I went on this journey and things weren't so great when I started out, but I felt this call to adventure and I got inspired by this goal and I started and it was difficult and I ran into struggles but I kept going and then I found this mentor who taught me this one thing and then I applied this one thing and all my dreams came true. And in the process of my dreams coming true, I became a different person and I learned this valuable piece of information that I was able to bring back to the other people who are still on that journey. And so that's that's one little basic structure of a story. The interesting thing to note about that is the story would not be that great if when you came to the part of the story and said, I met this mentor and they taught me 322 things, and I want to give you a list of the 322 things, right? You don't really see stories like that. Part of the reason is it would take too long, and the other part of the reason is it would be pretty boring to go through a list of, 322 things. And so typically what happens when we tell a story is we share the big things that stood out, the big differentiators that were present in the story. And another way to look at this, I listened to this this author who is a world famous author and speaker, and he was talking about movies and how movies, why do people like movies? And part of the reason is that a movie is a distillation of the most interesting parts of the story. There usually are not a lot of long, drawn out, hey, the character woke up, went and brushed teeth, scrolled social media for a while, walked to the kitchen, made the morning drink, went and took a shower, got dressed, got in the car, went to work. You see how, like, throughout the day, to the person who's living those mundane, repetitive details, those are important parts of the story because you're living them. But to someone else watching that part of the story, it's really not interesting because it's repetitive and there's no drama going on. It's just kind of like a normal, you know, thing that you do in the day. And so when you go to a movie or watch a TV show, it's like you pull out all of the most interesting, action-packed, exciting, informative parts, and you compress all of those down into 30 minutes or a couple of hours. And that's one of the reasons that movies can hold our attention, because they sort of delete out all the boring parts of the story. So how does that relate to storytelling and telling a story? Well, when you're telling a story, if you can do the same thing, you always want to be asking yourself the question, what's in it for them, when you're speaking and you're telling the story? So anyway, as I think back on my story, going from living in a single wide mobile home and failing in 17 different businesses or 16 different businesses before I finally found a home and built the freedom that I wanted, where now I can wake up in the morning and say, what do I want to do today, instead of what do I have to do today? And I look back over that and say, what was the thing that made the difference? The thing that made the biggest difference, the most interesting part of the story to me that I would like to pass along to everyone here today, is the part where Jim Rohn taught me that your philosophy is the major determining factor in how your life works out. That was a differentiator number one. And differentiator number two was when I said to myself, what the heck does the word philosophy mean? And then differentiator number three was when I learned that philosophy is in part the beliefs that form the pillars of your psychology, your foundational beliefs, the things by which you're willing to stand upon and say, this is where I stand. I will not move from these pillars. These are the pillars guiding me forward in my daily life and in the words I speak and the actions I take. These are the pillars that get me through the storms of life. These are the things that not only do I believe, but that I have tested through the trials and tribulations and the days and the months and the years. And these are the pillars that I have found to be worthy of standing upon. And then differentiator number four was when I found Napoleon Hill and the Laws of Success and some of these books that we study. And I realized that these pillars are called principles. And that when I could stand on those principles persistently and predictably, I discovered that these principles produced the effects that I was looking for in my life and my business. And what are those effects? They are a sense of meaning, success, some failure, because failure, guess what, is one of those pillars. Why would you stand upon a pillar of failure, Paul? Why would you not just yank that pillar out from underneath you? Well, because it does seem that failure is written into the fabric of the story, the collective story that we're all a part of, and also the individual story. And creating success does not mean that failure is removed from you. No, it means that you've persisted through the initial failures required to get to that success point. You've learned the things required that those failures came to teach you to get to that success point. But there's another point. So what is your next success point? You set the next success point, and then guess what is going to be there between success point A and success point B? You got it. More failures. Failures is not a bad word or words. Failure is not a bad word. Failure is part of the journey. Failure simply means that you are endeavoring to achieve a goal that you have not heretofore achieved. Therefore, there will be some learning experiences between where you're at now and where you are going. You could easily change the word failure for learning experience. How can you be expected to do something you've never done without on the first try. That would be the way to say it. How can you be expected to do something you've never done on the first attempt and do it well? It's unreasonable to think that that would be the case. I think about Christian and Rita Joy and what amazing musicians they are. And I think about the time that I first picked up a guitar and I couldn't even place my fingers on the right strings to make one chord sound. And over I would push my fingers down and you know, practice putting them on the right, just for just one chord. And it was difficult. And my fingers were so clumsy and they wouldn't go in the right spot. But I kept, so what would you call this? Learning experience. Some people would call it failure. We can call it a learning experience. I kept putting them down, putting them down, putting them down. And then finally, when I would get the fingers to go on the right strings, guess what happened after I pushed the strings down for a minute? My fingers would start to hurt. Ow, that hurts. And I would take them off. And then I would rest them a little bit. And then I would put them back on. Sure enough, they started to hurt again. So I kept putting them down, putting them down, putting them down. Learning experience. All the while, not making the sound that I wanted to make, but kept putting them down. And then after a while, what started to happen was I started to get calluses on the tips of my fingers, my body protecting itself from those steel strings. And sure enough, after a while, I put my fingers down and they didn't hurt anymore. And I could push them down just hard enough that when I played the strings, a nice sound came out for that one chord. But that was just one chord. A song is made up of more than one chord. So I had some failures, aka learning experiences, on my way to that first success point, aka my first chord. But now what? Oh, I got one chord, success. Now can I do the next chord? Can I just do the next chord without any of the previous failures? No, because I had to memorize the next chord. So there were some new learning experiences between chord A and chord B. Now, I will say that chord B was easier than chord A because I had developed some calluses on my fingers and it didn't hurt as much, but I still had to memorize where the fingers were supposed to go for the next chord. And success is like that. It is like that. It's maybe a little easier to go from one success to another because you've established some credibility. You've given yourself some proof in your own psychology that you can do hard things and that you can overcome. So you've got something working for you as you go to those next failure, aka learning points, experiences. But you still have them from point to point to point to point to point. There are always, it seems, going to be some of these learning experiences. And so that's why that's one of the pillars that you stand on as you go forth in life, realizing that failure is not what people taught us it was, something to be feared, something to be terrified of, something to be avoided. Robert Kiyosaki, the way he puts this is, in school, they teach us the wrong things. They teach us to be terrified of getting a bad grade on a test. They teach us that there is only one answer, one right answer. And if we don't get that right answer, we have failed. They might even write a big red F on our test and say, And kids learn to fear that. I don't want an F. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to fail. And you build up all this negative emotion around failure. Well, you know what successful entrepreneurs say? They say something different. If you listen to successful entrepreneurs, they say, you know what? In business, there are often many right answers to the question. There's usually not just one. And so you have to not be fearful of making the wrong choice because there are many choices and many of them will lead to the right outcome. And how do you know which is the right choice? In entrepreneurship, you have to test because while there may be books teaching you the principles, and there are, like the one we're going to study today and the others that we study on this call, there are books that give us inspiration, that teach us that there are principles we can follow, pillars that we can stand on, pillars that can reliably guide us forward. when it comes to actually doing business, what we're dealing with is reality. And here's something interesting. Every person's reality is a little bit different, right? Every person's business is a little bit different. So I might be able to write a book on how we've achieved success in my specific business, and I could give you all the specific details, but some of those specifics probably wouldn't apply to the specifics of your business and your situation. The principles would, I believe, but the specifics would differ a little bit. So when it comes to finding success in your own life journey, you're dealing with principles, which you can get, you can learn from others like we're doing today. But when it comes to the specifics, the way that you discover the specifics of success from your point A to your point B is you have to test in the fabric of reality. And in testing, you will have some tests that work the way you want them to, and some tests that work the way you maybe didn't want them to. And the ones that worked out the way you didn't want them to, society calls those failures. We call those an experiment that gave us valuable data, right? Here's a line. Action produces information. Action produces information. So as we are taking action in our business, we are gaining information. We are gaining information from the things that didn't work, and we say to ourselves, okay, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? Maybe that didn't work because I could have done it a little bit better. And okay, so if I could have done it a little bit better, how could I have done it a little bit better? Let me grab that little piece of information and let me test it on the next experiment. And then you test it. And if it works, you know that the thing that you added, that you did a little bit better, hey, that was the information I needed. Now I know that's how I do it right the next time. See, it's information we're getting when we take action, and success requires all of the information that we can gather. So successful entrepreneurs, when you hear them speak about doing business and succeeding and creating great things in the world, down to the period, down to the finest detail, it seems, when you listen to successful entrepreneurs who are willing to share the truth of their experience, what you'll find is that they do not have the same perspective on failure that most normal people do. They are not fearful of it. They are thankful for it. And in fact, they love it so much that they often have this concept of as much action as fast as possible, as much failure as fast as possible. Why? Because if we're going to fail, we'd rather find out sooner than later, and we'd rather pick up that information as fast as possible so we can create more successful iterations and slowly over time weed out the failure type iterations. They're just iterations, whether it's a success or it's a failure, it's all the same in that it's something required to move forward in life and business. So on this call, we study these principles, we share our stories, and we learn from each other, and we inspire each other to never give up and keep moving forward so we can create the freedom that we want to create in our lives. So that is who we are, why we're here, and what we do. And I want to unmute the lines and ask, how are you? Are you feeling good today? Are you excited for the gift of another day? Are you grateful for the reading and the things we can learn from each other? If so, let's hear how you're feeling as I unmute the lines now.
Amazing.
I love you guys. Okay, so we have a book of the month this month. It's called The Book of Elon. If you want to read something great outside the mastermind, recommend that book. Enemy of character to be aware of today is fear this month. So we want to swap fear out for what? For faith, if we can, and I know we can. We have a free gift for you if today is your first time on the call. It's called the Mastermind Collection. And it contains the books that we study, and not just the books that we study, but those books form the foundation of a philosophy that really helps me to build a life of financial freedom. So I love those books. I love the information that's in them and would recommend studying them on your own and studying them with us on this call as we continue forward. And if you want those, just get back with whoever invited you to the call today and they will get that to you free of charge. They're all in digital form. Last thing, we have an event coming up in September in Branson, Missouri. It's called Fest, and I'm so excited about that event. It's going to be a great one. We do it every year, and you can go to hbafreedomfest.com if you want to learn about that. Maybe consider picking up a ticket. It's up to you. Virtual and in-person tickets available. They're the same ticket. One ticket gets you in the door. The same ticket gets you in the door on your computer from home. So hbafreedomfest.com. And with that, Angela, amazing. Do you want to lead us through the major definite purpose and self-confidence formula?
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you so much, Paul. My Grow Rich family.
Thank you.
I salute the divinity in you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, now?
You sound great.
Okay, awesome. My major definite purpose. It is now on or before, and I have in my possession, which has come to me from time to time over the interim. In return for this, I happily gave the most effective service in which I was capable of rendering in the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of a Freedom Crusader. I know that I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see it before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It was awaiting transfer to me all along at the time and the proportion I delivered the service I intended to render in return for it. I am so grateful that I have received these plans by which to achieve these desires, and I am following these plans as they are received, and there is being more and more plans received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such actions. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind are reproducing themselves outwardly into physical action and gradually transforming themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I concentrate my thoughts for at least 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person that I am, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that amazing person. Third, I know that through the principles of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind is now seeking expression through some practical means of obtaining the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of even more self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will continue to endeavor until I have developed self-sufficient confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built under truth and justice. Therefore, I only engage in transactions that benefit all whom they affect. I succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I have eliminated hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism, and egotism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I have signed my name to this formula, committed it to memory, and I am repeating it out loud at least twice a day with full faith that it is gradually influencing my thoughts and my actions so that I am an even more self-reliant and successful person. Oh, divine providence, I do ask for more riches and for more wisdom for to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and to direct my own mind and thoughts to whatever ends that I might desire, in alignment with your will for my life, to prosper and to be in health, even as my soul prospers. According to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, in the divine's name, amen, so be it. Back to you, my brother Paul, and I love you, my Grow Rich family. Woo-hoo! Yes!
Oh, yeah. We love you too, Angela. Let's let her know, everybody.
Oh, amazing.
All right, guys. One other little side note, as I was thinking about that message of failure today, I realized just now that I fail all day, every day. you can ask my cobs, things that we're working on. I've been failing for like 4 days straight, working on this one particular thing, and it wasn't working, and so I fail, and I try, and I fail, and I try, and then I get a little better, and then I keep failing, and I keep trying. So it is interesting to think about that, that failure is 100% a part of the journey. So anyway, let's get into the reading. We're on page 95 of The Science of Getting Rich, chapter 13, Getting Into the Right Business. Success in any particular business depends, for one thing, upon your possessing in a well-developed state the faculties required in that business. Without good musical faculty, no one can succeed as a teacher of music. Without well-developed mechanical faculties, no one can achieve great success in any of the mechanical trades. Without tact and the commercial faculties, no one can succeed in mercantile pursuits. But to possess in a well-developed state the faculties required in your particular vocation does not ensure getting rich. There are musicians who have remarkable talent and who yet remain poor. There are blacksmiths, carpenters, and so on who have excellent mechanical ability but who do not get rich. And there are merchants with good faculties for dealing with people who nevertheless fail. The different faculties are tools. It is essential to have good tools, but it is also essential that the tools should be used in the right way. One person can take a sharp saw, a square, a good plane, and so on, and build a handsome article of furniture. Another can take the same tools and set to work to duplicate the article, but his production will be a botch. He or she does not know how to use the good tools in a successful way. The various faculties of your mind are the tools with which you must do the work, which is to make you rich. So it will be easier for you to succeed if you get into a business for which you are well equipped with mental tools. Generally speaking, you will do best in that business which will use your strongest faculties, the one for which you are naturally best fitted. But there are limitations to this statement also. No one should regard his vocation as being irrevocably fixed by the tendencies with which he was born. You can get rich in any business, for if you have not the right talent, you can develop that talent. It merely means you will have to make your tools as you go along, instead of confining yourself to the use of those tools with which you were born. It will be easier for you to succeed in a vocation for which you already have the talents in a well-developed state, but you can succeed in any vocation, for you can develop any rudimentary talent. And there is no talent of which you have not at least the rudiment. You will get rich most easily in terms of effort if you do that for which you are best fitted, but you will get rich most satisfactorily if you do that which you want to do. And just a quick note from me, how do you find that which it is that you want to do? Because sometimes you might be tricked by fear into thinking you don't want to do a thing, that after you do the thing, you discover that you actually do want to do the thing. So there's a little bit of a mental trick that sometimes happens. You know, I'm going through this with one of my sons right now. He's 18 and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do with life. And we're looking at all these different options. And one of the options, he's like, I'm not sure if I want to do that. And one of my responses is, well, sometimes you don't even know whether you want to do it or not until you actually do it. So sometimes we just have to start taking action with whatever's in front of us to discover if that was the thing we wanted or not. I really did learn this throughout many things that I did before my entrepreneurial career. I didn't know. So you start and you do. And as you're doing and you're doing and you're doing, you're learning these little distinctions like, oh, I don't really like that. Like when I was in the job, I didn't really like that my boss could put me down. I didn't really like that politics was a part of the advancement game. I didn't really like that I was stuck in a box and I had to get permission to go to the bathroom. I didn't really like that my family had to take second place in front of my job, which supposedly had to take first place. I didn't like that. But see, I didn't know all those things until I experienced them. So sometimes experience gives us the knowledge of what we want and what we don't want. This happened again when I started building businesses from home. And over the course of all these different companies and failures, I started to make a list. I don't like hype. I don't like small commissions. I don't like companies lying to me. I don't like companies being here today, gone tomorrow. I don't like status games and comparison games where we lift some up and we say, oh, these are the special ones. No one else is as special because they haven't made as much money as these other people. I didn't like that. But see, I didn't know I didn't like those things until I experienced them. So just a note on finding what it is you want to do. Sometimes you just have to do and do and do and do, and you refine your judgment. And what you want becomes more clear, and what you don't want becomes more clear as well. Doing what you want to do is life, and there is no real satisfaction in living if we are compelled to be forever doing something which we do not like to do and can never do what we want to do. And it is certain that you can do what you want to do. The desire to do it is proof that you have within you the power which you can do it. Desire is a manifestation of power. The desire to play music is the power which can play music, seeking expression and development. The desire to invent mechanical devices is the mechanical talent seeking expression and development. Where there is no power, either developed or undeveloped, to do a thing, there is never any desire to do that thing. And where there is strong desire to do a thing, it is certain proof that the power to do it is strong and only requires to be developed and applied in the right way. All other things being equal, it is best to select a business for which you have the best developed talent. But if you, so what do if you have no talent? like me, when I started home business, I really had no talent for it. But he says, if you have a strong desire to engage in any particular line of work, you should select that work as the ultimate end at which you aim. And I think the same would be said for a goal. So, you know, for me, the goal was freedom. And so the work has varied quite a bit as I've pursued that goal of freedom. But for me, what I wanted was freedom. Freedom. I wanted freedom. So I think, I think there are two strong points of desire that we can develop. Strong point number one is the thing that we want. The freedom that we want, whatever that is, the insatiable desire, the white hot burning desire, as Napoleon Hill would say. Is there a success point that you desire so greatly that it fuels you? I was talking to a team member yesterday, and he was telling me that he just burn out and has a hard time getting excited and fired up. Life's beating him down. Job's beating him down. Responsibility's beating him down. And this happens. You know, this happens. One thing that helped me while I was getting beat down is remembering my white-hot burning desire. This is why we say on a daily basis or as often as you can, it might be a good idea to take some time and visualize where you're going. That definite purpose, that self-confidence formula, seeing in your mind's eye the thing, the spot, the space, the money that lights you up, that reminds you, this is what I'm working for. See, if you're not cultivating that in some way, it is very easy for life to beat you down so hard that you get knocked out of the game. But if you've got a dream, if you've got a dream that you're touching in your imagination and in your mind's eye, and maybe even a little with your heart and your soul, and you're feeling it on a daily basis, see, that's the fuel that gets you through the beatdown. That's the fuel that gets you through the things you need to do. So that's an important part. So that's one point of desire. And then another point of desire is doing the thing you want to do on your way to that. So two good desire points. He says, you can do what you want to do, and it is your right and privilege to follow the business or avocation, which will be most congenial and pleasant. You're not obliged to do what you do not like to do and should not do it except as a means to bring you to the doing of the thing you want to do. If there are past mistakes whose consequences have placed you in an undesirable business or environment, you may be obliged for some time to do what you do not like to do, but you can make the doing of it pleasant by knowing that it is making it possible for you to come to do the doing of the thing that you want to do. I love that, you know, and that's another thing I've highlighted with my son. You know, when you're just starting out in life and you have no money, you gotta sometimes just do the thing that's going to get you the money, you know? I guess you have a little less flexibility in being as picky as you can be as you have more money. So that's a caveat to think about as well. If you feel that you are not in the right vocation, do not act too hastily in trying to get into another one. The best way generally to change business or environment is by growth. Do not be afraid to make sudden and radical change if the opportunity is presented and you feel after careful consideration that it is the right opportunity, but never take sudden or radical action when you are in doubt as to the wisdom of doing so. There is never any hurry on the creative plane, and there is no lack of opportunity. When you get out of the competitive mind, you will understand that you never need to act hastily. No one is going to beat you to the thing that you want to do. There is enough for all. If one space is taken, another and better one will be opened for you a little further on. There's plenty of time. When you are in doubt, wait. Fall back on the contemplation of your vision and increase your faith and purpose. And by all means, in times of doubt and indecision, cultivate gratitude. A day or two spent in contemplating the vision of what you want and in earnest thanksgiving that you are getting what you want, will bring your mind into such close relationship with the Supreme that you will make no mistake when you do act. There is a mind which knows all there is to know, and you can come into close unity with this mind by faith and purpose to advance in life if you have deep gratitude. Mistakes come from acting hastily, from acting in fear or doubt or in forgetfulness of the right motive, which is more life to all and less life to none. As you go on in a certain way, opportunities will come to you in increasing number, and you will need to be very steady in your faith and purpose and to keep in close touch with the Supreme Mind by reverent gratitude. Do all that you can do in a perfect manner every day, but do it without haste, worry, or fear. Go as fast as you can, but never hurry. Remember, in the moment you begin to hurry, you cease being a creator and become a competitor. You drop back upon the old plane again. Whenever you find yourself hurrying, call a halt. Fix your attention on the mental image of the thing you want and begin to give thanks that you are getting it. The exercise of gratitude will never fail to strengthen your faith and renew your purpose. So there we have it. We're going to jump into the mastermind portion. Please keep in mind this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our community. Brevity and relevance always appreciated in your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you're learning, what's standing out to you, what exciting things are happening in your life and business, any successes that you've recently had, any interesting stories or conversations you've recently had. We'd love to hear about those. And let me get the lines in right. Star 6 is first. Come on out.
Hey, Paul, Steve Scores.
Hello, how you doing? It's Albie.
Hey, I think I heard Steve and then Albie. So, Steve, are you there?
Hey, Paul, hey, I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You sound great.
Oh, awesome. So, hey, I really appreciated your thoughts on failure. I've kind of grown up in the sales side of life, and one of my favorite trainers was Tom Hopkins, and your thoughts brought to mind what he called the champion's creed, and I just wanted to share that. He just says, I'm not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed, and the number of times that I succeed is in direct proportions to the number of times I can fail and keep trying. And I've been reading the book of Elon, and I'm just amazed at his diligence, his commitment to success. And he talks about throughout the book of his struggles, his trials, and you know, the things that he went through to get to where he was. And at one point he talked about where, when they were developing Tesla, you know, he spent 3 years on the factory floor, eating, sleeping, working, you know, trying to figure out how and what the best way would be to manufacture Tesla cars. And, you know, as he's talking about all these things that he's sacrificing, you know, all the failures that he's going through, you know, he's on the brink of failure almost at every business turn, yet he sticks it out, finds a way to succeed and takes those learning lessons and applies it to the next step. And, you know, it makes me just think, I'm such a small thinker when compared to a guy like Elon. You know, I'm thinking in hundreds and thousands of dollars, and he's thinking in millions and billions of dollars, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. So I realized just by reading that book, you know, it's okay to fail because you are getting the information you need to take the next step. And you know, by failing, I think it expands your vision and your experience so you can keep on moving. And so I just wanted to share that champion creed and some thoughts as I've been reading the book of Elon today. Thanks.
I love that, Steve. Thank you so much. And one interesting thing about Elon in relation to his goals versus our goals, I like how he said his goal really is to help people. And when they asked him, who do you admire in the world? He said, I admire anybody who's doing something useful for their fellow human beings. And so even though the scales might be different, if we're working on doing something useful, we're really kind of in the same category. And I like that. So great thoughts. Thank you, Steve. Very valuable. Albie, come on out.
Hey, Paul.
What's up,
How's
brother?
It going today?
Oh, man, better.
Oh, man.
Better now I get to hear you.
Oh my gosh. Well, you're very kind. Hey, you know, I was thinking about what you said about failure and everything, and inside that book called The Greatest Salesman in the World, it talks about this is my challenge, right? It talks about this is my challenge. And it's like a challenge is something you have to get through. You know, and you don't get through it unless you fail through it. And I think that's part of the fun is you're discovering, you know, I mean, like some people call it failing, but it's kind of also, you could also call it exploring, you know, because when you're exploring, I mean, when you're going through the woods, you know, you go in the wrong direction, you come in, you're looking through this spot, and you're looking through this spot, and you're like, where is it? Where's the trail at anyway? So anyway, I just wanted to shoot that out there, you know. I guess it really depends on how you look at it, you know. It's like what are you finding along your path, you know? What kind of cool things are you discovering? And
and what kind of challenges are you taking on? So anyway, just wanted to shoot that out there. Thanks, Paul.
I love it. And it aligns perfectly with, you know, Elon said his greatest motivator is curiosity. So, you know, exploring, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious.
That's awesome.
What works? What doesn't work? What can I learn? It's a fun adventure. Thanks, Albie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, appreciate you. What if when someone says, hey, what do you do for a living? You're like, I fell for 8 hours a day. That wouldn't be as exciting, probably. if I could show you a way to fail for 8 hours a day, would you be open to watching a video that could show you how to do that? Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Kevin Souza.
Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. You know, talk about fear and doing something that you've never done before and how well will you do it. You know, the first time I ever was exposed to the home business profession, I was in college as a voice major at the New England Conservatory of Music. And I had already started experiencing some things that made me think a little bit. I only had X amount of money for food. I had a full scholarship at that school, so I did not need money for tuition nor my dorm, but I needed money for food. And so I took a $2,500 loan, my very first loan out, and it was given to me by my fourth grade teacher, who was a loan officer at the time. It was a year after I graduated high school. And I went and was offered the opportunity, and you know, I had a desire that I really didn't really know that I should be focusing on that. I was brand new, totally new, and knew nothing about personal development except for what I was brought up with in life. And I did not want to be limited by income. That's what my goal was. That's what my desire was. I don't want to be limited. I don't want to have to count my pennies. And so that's where I was. And when I saw the opportunity to start a home business, I had to drive in my friend's car 75 miles to a meeting. And I just had no clue what I was doing. And then when 80 people said no to me within my first 72 hours in that business, I invited 80 people to my mother's home, it was my home, but over 2 days, and they all said no. So not only was my fear fed, or at least I let it be fed, but I didn't know if I could do it because everybody said no. What do I do now? You know, and I'm not going to try to talk them into it, so I didn't follow up with any of them. But the bottom line is I kept going because I realized when I heard a reference to Think and Grow Rich in one of those meetings before I actually read the book, that desire is important. And I said, okay, I just don't want to be broke. I don't want to be limited by income. And in essence, that was kind of a raw form of freedom. But bottom line is I kept that desire, and that desire kept me going and learning and getting better and making more mistakes and then getting better. And over time, it provided me with the income that I wanted. I was in that business for 30 years, and this was before the internet. So anyway, just thought I'd share my thoughts on how I handled my fear. Back to you.
I love it. Thank you, Kevin. And totally resonate with the not wanting to be limited, not wanting to have our income limited. It's such a strong desire point. Thanks, Kevin. Star 6 is it. Come on out.
Hello.
Hey, Donna.
Hello. Hey, Paul.
He's got the P, the Paul. How's that Booker? He says it better than me. But I'm reading John Maxwell's new book called How to Get a Return on Failure. And it's, you know, what everybody's talking about here is very similar to what he's saying. And what John Maxwell says is that we need to put our failure and our success next to each other. Don't keep them separate because they're integrally intertwined. Say that 10 times real fast. But anyway, it's really great because he was saying that you don't try hard so you can have it easy. You try hard so you can do the harder thing next time. You'll be stronger to do harder next time. And so this whole mentality that, you know, you're going to try real hard and then you're going to sit back and coast, he says, no, that's not how you do it. You try real hard so you'll be stronger to try harder next time. And he says that every single good thing that we want is going to be uphill. So in other words, he's trying to encourage us to know that that life isn't easy, I guess, is the whole thing. But I really, you know, I just love my John. I saw him at the Spurge thing 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he comes up on, and he's like almost 80 years old now. And he's just really, you know, he sits there and he goes, hello, I'm John, and I'm your friend. And then he tells y'all, you're gonna have a really hard time and everything, but I'm your friend. So he's telling us the truth, you know. And it reminds me of that scripture that says that a true friend, better are the kiss of a, I mean, let's see, what is it? The blows of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Because, you know, an enemy will do and blow you up, you know, blow smoke up your skirt. But a true friend will tell you the truth. And so John Maxwell says, I'm your friend. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Thanks so much for holding.
Thank you, Donna. It reminds me of the quote from Jim Rohn where he said, all good things in life are located upstream from us. Thank you, Donna.
Hello, Jim Rohn.
You say to send you.
Star 6 is next. Come on out. Yes.
Hey, I was listening to the call on Monday, and Brother Booker said, fear, false education appearing real, false education appearing real. And I thought,
wow,
I never heard it that way before. So going back to the education, you know, when we were in school, we didn't want to fail, you know, like you were saying, we didn't want to F on that test or whatever it was. We didn't want to fail. And then now we see that failure is a part of our consistency of growth and being able to experience things and then get a aha moment from it to be able to do better the next time. But then today I'm thinking each and every day is a new day that we have the opportunity to get up and try again, no matter what it is. We have the opportunity to try again. So I'm just so thankful to be able to think about failure being a part of the victory or the success, and then to know that the education that we had was false. It was false education appearing real. And so I'm just thinking on those things this morning as you were talking. And I'm so thankful for the experiences that we are having each and every day. Thank you, Brother Paul. I love my brother.
Thank you. Angela, thank you so much for bringing that to me. I somehow missed that part of Monday's call. And I love that so much. It's so much better than the false evidence appearing real. I'm like, what do you mean evidence? And if it's evidence, how is it false? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But the false education, that makes perfect sense. So thank you, Angela and Booker. Star 6 is next. Come on out. We have 5 minutes left. Would love to hear from you today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got Minister Christian, and then we got Sean Canty following him up.
All right. Here we go. Love you. Thank you. I love our call. Love you, Paul. Thank you, Angela, for your energy and everybody. And as we were talking about failure, you know, I couldn't help but look up Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, and the light bulb. We always hear 10,000 times he tried, but it was interesting where it says he said failures. Edison is often cited as saying he did not fail, but rather found 10,000 ways that did not work, treating each attempt as a lesson. So I love that, because this week we've been talking about reframing. We have the power to reframe. And we can look at anything as we choose to look at it. And I like how Thomas Edison reframed it as just ways to learn. I like what Alvy said, I'm an explorer. I'm running into a bunch of brick walls and, you know, I'm going down a lot of paths that ain't right and looking for the spot, you know, and that's kind of how I feel. I like to just feel again, you know, today is going to be the best day ever, starting out with this call. And will everything go as I envision it today? I think it's going to be that or better in many ways. A lot of times things are continuations. So every day is building on another thing. And when things don't happen a certain way, I get a chance to expose and see what it is that and why it is that it wasn't working. So, again, it's these iterations, these things that we keep doing to get better. And you talked about playing guitar. You know, I picked up my guitar yesterday. Matter of fact, changed the strings on both of them, because I hadn't touched it in a while, because I've been going through some things with my family and court cases since February. Haven't really been on it. So getting back on it, you know, if you don't use it, you can lose it. And I stay on it because, doggone it, it makes me feel good, and that's the only reason I need. That what I'm doing makes me feel good. Now let's figure out how I can make it monetary. And so thankful that we're in a community that can change our desires into money. Aw, yeah. Never give up. Keep moving forward. Be the change you're born to be in this world. Love you, family.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, when you were laughing at Albie the Explorer, I imagined Albie and Dora the Explorer holding hands and skipping along the road of life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Minister Christian. Great thoughts. good stuff. All right, Sean, come on out, man. I saw you working out today in my story, Sean. Is that right?
I don't think so. Maybe it was an old one. I don't know.
Maybe.
No.
Someone on a treadmill. I thought it said Sean Canty.
Nah, I don't think I've ever filmed myself on a treadmill, to be honest. So I almost came out singing Dora the Explorer. Dora the Explorer. False evidence appearing real. I mean, evidence is education. Education is evidence. So maybe they're interchangeable. I don't know. Anyways, I got to thinking when you said you're helping your son try to figure out where he wants to go in life. And I'm still working the job site job as a medic on site. And it's kind of been transitional job for me, because I hit a point when the youngest graduated. All the stuff I was interested in doing, like we do here, just kind of escaped me. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that anymore. What do I want to be when I grow up? And there's a book out there called Roar by a guy named Michael Clinton. And he's got stories in it about a woman at like 55 going back to med school and people starting over. So sometimes, like, I'll be talking to the young interns here on this job, or even some young laborers who are in the union and stuff, and they're making good money. But do you want to labor for 30 years? And, you know, I'll just talk to them about some of the principles we talk about. And, you know, when you're young, graduating high school, graduating college, what a great time to go explore different jobs and meet different people. Because I've met some people that have told me their jobs in this job site thing. And I'm like, that's a job? Really? That's cool. I wish I knew about that when I was 22, you know. And there's just so many options out there that we don't hear about. And I think even up through the age of 30 sometimes, people are not decided on where they want to go and what they want to do. And I think that's all right, because there are so many options out there. And as long as we're progressing forward and growing and expanding the mind, then it's all good. So I'm hoping, you know, by 55 I can figure out what I want to be when I grow up. Maybe I should just go back to playing more. Anyways, I'll stop there because I could just keep rambling about stuff. So have a great day, everybody.
It's all good, Brother Sean. Yeah, hopefully we're all still figuring out what we want to do when we grow up. You know, we want to keep that childlike curiosity and wonder in us, I think, as we keep moving forward. So awesome call, guys. Thank you so much for all the contributors. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being people that work on yourselves daily. Thank you for having a dream. Thank you for getting through the challenges and the setbacks and continuing to move forward to create great things in the world. I love and believe in all of you guys. Let's get out there, take action, go for your dreams, make it a great day, and we'll hear you back here tomorrow on the Grow Rich Mastermind. Take care, and bye for now.
Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.
That was awesome, Paul.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Have the best day ever.
Oh, yeah.
I used to chase what I couldn't hold, counting every gap, every dead, every cold. Woke up racing before my feet hit the floor, always behind, always needing more. I thought the hustle was the only way through, grind till you drop and then start again new. But something was missing I couldn't quite name. I had all the effort and nothing to claim. And quiet as the morning, soft as the light, a truth started rising and it changed my whole life. It wasn't out there, it was never that far. It was gratitude first that opens the door. That's divine positioning. Not luck, not chance, not a lucky break. Something bigger moving things into place. Stayed grateful, kept my heart alive, and the right thing showed up at the right time. Every door, every person, every sign was already coming. I just had to align. That's divine positioning. That's divine positioning. So I started each morning with thankful eyes. Three things, five things, watching the list rise. Not waiting for perfect, not waiting for more. Grateful for exactly what already was. 30 days turned to 60, turned to a year. Something kept shifting, kept getting more clear. Not just doors opening into my life, but people I could reach in the middle of the night. The timing was purpose, the placement was planned. I was being positioned to offer my hand. And what felt like waiting was never a stall. What felt like a dead end was a corridor call. The grateful mind sees what the striving mind missed. That the hard, unclear seasons are already on the list. That's divine positioning. Not luck, not chance, not a lucky break. Something bigger moving things into place. I stayed grateful, kept my heart aligned, and the right thing showed up. Every door, every person, every sign was already coming. I just had to align. That's divine positioning. That's divine positioning. Draw close to the source and the source draws close to you. That's not religion, it's a law and it's true. The grateful mind fixes on the best of everything, and the best keeps finding its way back in. Hill said faith is born of gratitude. Waddle said it keeps you tuned to the frequency of everything good coming toward you like it always should. But it's not just about you finding your place, it's about who you'll meet face to face. Position for a stranger, a season, a soul. The detour was always part of the whole. When the path is unclear and the why won't come, you're not forgotten, you're not undone. You're being prepared for the moment ahead when someone will need exactly where you've been led. Never by chance, the grateful heart gets a front row stand. That's not luck, that's design, that's not stumbling. That's divine positioning. Not luck, not chance, not a lucky break. transitioning. If you're in the middle of waiting right now, if you're wondering when and you're wondering how, if the season is hard and the why isn't clear, you're not lost in the dark, you're being drawn near, you're being prepared for a person, a place, someone down the road who needs your grace. Stay thankful for exactly where you stand. Something's already moving, already planned. That's not luck, that's not chance, that's not random at all. Stay grateful, stay open, and watch what falls into place.